Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, July 16th, about 2.5 hours into the equity market open with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. This is going to be somewhat of an interesting podcast, mainly because there's not a ton of stuff to cover on the equity front. Now, we do have some stuff to cover on the interest rate side, but right now, we have an equal weighted S&P up basically 0.5%, S&P up 0.2%, Dow 0.5%, NASDAQ down 0.5%, Russell flat. But we do have, and this plays into somewhat of everything, crude oil up 10% since last podcast. And that's important because it directly affects a lot of the inflationary measures, which we'll go over here in just a minute. But the inflationary measures are what drives the interest rates, and the interest rates are what drives ultimately the longer term, mid to long term direction of the equity markets, which is, what's important to us. So one of the things I wanted to cover, and then we'll jump into Carl's corner about those inflationary measures, is the four basics. We've talked about this before, but in case we have any new listeners, we've talked about the four basic components of what we monitor in terms of sector selection and then ultimately equity selection when constructing a portfolio. That's macroeconomics, which is the interest rates, right? And then we start to narrow it down from there. So that gives us a broad view. And then we got to get into the statistical nature. And then we got to get into the seasonal nature, and then we got to really fine tune it with the technical nature. And on the technical front, Carl, I'll let you cover some of the names we've got coming up for earnings season that tend to have an effect this time of year because of somewhat of a depressed volume in the markets, right, during the summer season. So that can sometimes enhance the volatility. So I just wanted to cover that, but one of the things that's interesting to me is how many equities and why that process is so important. There were, what did I tell you earlier? 62 stocks in the S&P that in the first half of this year were down 20% at one point. That's why that process is so important. And that's why obviously we don't own those, but that's why it's so important to have a systematic process when it comes to portfolio construction. But Carl, speak to the earnings and also the inflationary measures.
You mentioned that there's a lot less volume happening during the summertime, which is absolutely true, which speaks on the velocity of money. It's a lot changing hands as frequently. And so there's not as many in the business we call bidders or askers. And so there's less people out there buying, less people out there selling. So the margins get a little bit bigger instead of something being sold at 500. It may be being sold at 500 or 502, and that way there's a gap there, and you're buying those. That's why you're seeing so much more volatility that happens in the summertime. So just a little bit of explanation on that and why there's so much volatility with the lack of volume on that front. As far as the earnings for the summertime, incoming the big guys. We got Google coming up. We have Tesla coming up. Those are next week. They kick off the tech earnings sectors. We also got some of the memory chips coming in. So Micron, I think, was last week. Seagate is coming up, as well as Lam Research. Those are kind of the three heavy hitters. SanDisk is upcoming as well. And those right there, due to the lack of volume, those earnings, because of their weighting inside of the S&P and most exchange traded funds that are out there, will cause the volatility to spike during those 2 week span, as you know, the Apple, the Microsofts, the everybody else comes and does their earnings as well. And that is going to be very key to watch. It's going to be volatile. So if we have any listeners out there that like to look at their portfolios every day, like to look at the market every day, just be aware we are watching it, but it's going to be very up and down for about a 2 to 3 week stretch there upcoming.
And to that point, I would also add that it's likely to be very volatile in both directions to end up like the way I like to say it is it's going to co cover a lot of ground to get to nowhere, basically.
That's true. I mean, that's what's it's kind of been what has been happening over the last 2 years. We get these random stretches. I mean, they're perceived as random, but there's something, there's a catalyst to them. And it'll be, if you remember last year's tariffs, it was down 6%, up 9%, and there was huge volatility. And I think at the end of the week, the market was like up 1%.
It was flat,
It was incredible to watch it.
yeah.
Now, we're not going to get those.
We did a
That's not going to be
podcast
happening.
on that, remember?
I do. That was one of my favorite podcasts. It's sitting there going, guys, it's been a week. And I think we're not going to get something near that, but there is going to be volatility to it. That's going to be, you're right. It's just going to be essentially a path to flatness in the market, and which is normally what the summer is anyway. Right, this is completely typical. This is one of those seasonal aspects that we take a part in, that we look at, and that we put into the research on it.
That's right.
And then the other thing, the macroeconomics, we're going to jump right into Carl's Corner. I'm going to send myself over there.
Okay.
What we have coming up, or what we had 2 days ago, apologies, was CPI, was on the 14th, and then the day after was PPI. Now, those are two of the three inflationary measures that they use. The only one we're missing now is PCE. But CPI and PPI both came in very cool. All right. That means they came in well under projections. And that normally means, okay, we can put a halt on any sort of rate hike scare or anything like that. But this is why I've been hounding for about 2 months the importance of having 3 to 4 months of inflationary data before anything gets made up. Because we had 2 months where it came in extremely high, and then we had this month where it came in cool. So that now immediately pushed the rate hike probabilities into December firmly or early 2027. And which is why we discussed the oil so prevalently at the beginning of this episode and over the last 2 to 3 weeks. One of the reasons why this inflationary measure came in cool was because last month was the longest stretch of the peace in the Middle East. And with that, so the Hormuz was open a little bit more, so there was more free-flowing oil. And so those inflationary numbers were able to tamp down. Since these reports have come out, or well, about a week ago, the Iran Strait of Hormuz has been closed again or is very limited. So we're going to see different inflationary measures next month and the month after that, which is why it's key and why Warsh has been very data dependent. He needs to see 3 or 4 of these hot CPIs in a row before he'll make any sort of decision, which is exactly what we want and what we hoped it would be, is a very data dependent, data driven Fed.
Well, yes, and that is very important for the long term because if you can truly get a data-driven, data-dependent Fed chair, which I don't know that we had in the past, it does make things a bit more, or quite a bit more predictable, right? Because the data comes out before any sort of decision on interest rates happens. So if you can truly lean into the idea that this committee, right, the board is all data dependent and driven, then that does make things quite nicer for portfolio construction. I absolutely.
And I will say those two key indicators were the last two indicators we're going to get for inflationary measures for about 2 weeks.
Yep.
Because PCE comes in at the end of the month typically. And so without having any sort of major market moving indicators, the market will move more in line with based on what earnings are happening, which is why we discussed earnings so much at the beginning, because those are the main focuses right now that will shift. And when you have sectors or industries, and you have them weighted. So, like Micron is leader of the memory stocks. If Micron does bad, it's going to bring down the most of them. And you have Google that leads advertising. and internet. So if that one does bad, it could come down, and which could bring, Apple or Microsoft down and the rest of the tech world down. And that's why these earnings are so key when you have nothing else to help prop it up. We need to make sure these companies are doing well, which indicators are that they should be. I haven't seen an earnings yet that says that there's anticipated to miss earnings. So that is going to be very good. But it's just going to go right along with the volatility because we only have one thing essentially making market moves at this point in time for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
That's right. Yeah. So the for the next 2 to 3 weeks, that's likely what we're going to be focusing in on is just earnings releases and forward guidance as well, to sort of get us through until we get back to the normal activity of the market, normal volume activity, which tends to be back end of August, front end of September, and then things will sort of become more fundamental, I guess, is what you would say. And so you will hear us absolutely focusing in more heavily on these earnings between now and then. And then of course we do, I mean, we will have to talk about the July 29th Fed meet, but to your, to what you just alluded to, there shouldn't be really any action. So that's going to be more about the rhetoric. And you've actually, we've talked about this quite heavily on this podcast. The action is really kind of the least important thing. What's the most important is, well, the second most important is what the Fed chair actually says in the press conference. But what's even more important than that is what the individual Fed governors come out and say after that. And so that'll be interesting to see in this particular case because of all these metrics that you were just going over.
And Warsh, of all the ones I've seen, all his testimonies and his I think he's only done one now, his one Fed meeting press conference, he is much more open than Powell ever was. Powell was very good at saying a lot of things and nothing at the same time. And Warsh is very open, here's your answer, kind of different, which some will look at good and some will look at it as bad. But that means when he speaks, it'll have more gravitas than when Powell would speak. So watching every time he opens his mouth, whether it's in front of the Congress or the Senate or at the press conferences, those are going to be key watching points, especially for us. We're going to be watching those as many as we can to make sure we're listening to find out what he thinks, how he's treating these numbers and indicators moving forward.
Yes, and because that is so vital to that first filter that we talked about at the very beginning of the podcast, and should be for any sort of asset manager when it comes down to portfolio construction, like that is the that's you have to start there, and understanding the landscape, macro landscape, economic landscape is just so very important, and as you just mentioned. His commentary going forward is going to be very, very critical when it comes to how we shift portfolios, whether it be, into certain sectors, or whether it be if we, if we need to raise cash or get more heavily invested and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that is a very good point. So with that, Carl, did you have anything else? I think that's about all I got.
Oh, I think we covered everything we needed to. Cooling inflationary numbers. So we're keeping our eyes on that. Probabilities, no shifting. And we got our eyes on earnings coming up. If any of our listeners think somebody might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Perfect. And with that, then we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.